Dead Man's Time by Peter James. Read by Daniel Wayman. For Pat Lanigan, this book would never have happened without your generosity in sharing your family history with me. Chapter 1. Brooklyn, February 1922. The boy's father kissed him goodnight for the last time, although neither of them knew that. The boy never went to sleep until he had had that kiss. Every night, late, long after he had gone to bed, he would lie waiting in the darkness, until he heard the door of his room open and saw the light flood in from the landing, then the shadowy figure and the sound of his father's heavy footsteps across the bare boards. "Hey, little guy, you still awake?" he would say in his low, booming voice.
"Yep, big man, I am. Can I see your watch?"
His father would take out the watch from his pocket and hold it up by the chain. It was shiny, with a big, round face, and there was a winder on the top with a hoop the chain was attached to. In the top half of the face was a section that showed the phases of the moon. The sky behind the moon was dark blue, and the stars were gold. Sometimes the moon was barely visible, just peeping out. Other times it was whole, an ochre disc. Every night the boy would ask his father to tell him a story about the man in the moon. His father always did. Then he would tousle his hair, kiss him on the forehead and ask, "You said your prayers." The boy would nod. "You go to sleep now." Then his father would clump back out of the room and close the door. That's how it was the very last time. Chapter 2. Four men lurched their way up the street towards the house of the man they had come to kill. Three of them were unsteady because they'd drunk too much, the fourth because he had drunk too much and had a wooden leg. They had been boozing to steady their nerves, to get some Dutch courage. They had reassured each other a while earlier over clinking glasses and slopping beer and whiskey chases in the packed Vinegar Hill bar. The one with the wooden leg wasn't convinced they were doing the right thing, but he went along with his mates, because that's what you did when you were part of a gang. You either went along with them, or they killed you too. It was a few minutes to midnight, and the street was dark and deserted, steady rain glossing the cobblestones. Each of them had a handgun, and two of them carried baseball bats as well, concealed inside their coats. It was a cold night, cold enough for hell to freeze over. They all wore fingerless mittens. "This is it," their leader said, peering at the number on the front door of the row house. Vapour trailed from his mouth and nostrils like smoke. "Number 21, it read.
"Are we sure this is it?"
"This is it."
"Where's Johnny?"
"He'll be here. He's just up the road now." Even in the darkness, the house looked shabby, like all its neighbours in this Brooklyn waterfront district. There was a curtained window to the right of the door, with no light on behind it. They tugged their balaclavas out of their pockets and wrestled them down over their damp heads. Their leader raised his baseball bat in his hand and stepped forward. Chapter 3. The boy lay in the darkness, snug in his pyjamas beneath the heavy bedclothes, listening to the ticking of the big round clock in his room, listening to the familiar sounds of the night. The drone of a passing ship on the busy, inky water of the East River close by. The clatter of a train high overhead. The creaking of bedsprings through the thin wall to his parents' bedroom. Moans from his parents. His mother crying out. His father's loud grunt. The gentle patter of rain on the roof above him. The night had its own sounds. Its own music. The tinkle of breaking glass was not part of it. He froze. It sounded like it came from downstairs, right below him. Had the cat knocked over the whiskey bottle and glass his dad left out empty every night? Then he heard footsteps coming up the stairs. Not his dad's. His dad was already upstairs in bed. Several sets of footsteps. He lay, motionless, his fear increasing. The door opened. A powerful torch beam struck his face, blinding him, and he shut his eyes. Heard footsteps in his room. He could sense a whole